Sunday night, Zar Halacha and Chayvus Halvavus, or Lechav Beis, or Lechav Gimel Kislev, or Lechav Gimel Kislev. Monday's Chav Gimel, Tuesday's Chav Dalet, yeah, Wednesday's Hanukkah. Okay. So we light Hanukkah Neiros in Shul also. So Shulchan Aruch says because of Pirsumei Nisa, and we make a bracha. The Beragola says just as we make a bracha, it's a minog, and we make a bracha over a minog, just as we make a bracha over Hallel and Rosh Chodesh. That's what the Beragola says. So that's it's a minog. The minog is because of the Pirsumei Nisa in Shul. And the crux of the mitzvah is Pirsumei Nisa, so even though it's Ner Chanukah, Ner Yeshu Beiso, and Beis HaKnesses is not a bias, but that's a minhag, and we make a bracha over a minhag also. The Aruch HaShulchan says that the minhag, it comes from just as they used to make kiddush in shul, because of people used to sleep in the shul, stay in the shul, eat in the shul. That was like the Beis HaKnesses Archim also. So you light Chanukah licht for them also, just like you make kiddush for them. The Chacham Tzvi asks the question, the Shulchan Aruch at least holds, Beis Yosef holds, that you don't make a bracha on Hallel Rosh Chodesh. So how come here we're making a bracha over a minhag? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden, his son, answers, very interesting answer, that the bracha is a chelik of the Pirsumei Nisa, because with the bracha, you find in Halacha and in the Gemara a lot of different halachas based on the fact that we should recognize it's Chanukah Neiros. We don't understand that so well because we're living in the world of electricity. So you see Neiros burning, you understand it's not there to give light. But for most of history, until very, very recently, there was always that hakpada to make sure you can tell it's Chanukah Neiros. So like he says, the bracha makes it clear that it's Chanukah Neiros. It's part of the Pirsumei Nisa. And that's why they allowed the bracha to be made over a minhag, because that's part of the chefza of the mitzvah, so to speak, the Pirsumei Nisa. The Gra compares it to making a bracha over Hallel after Ma'ariv on Pesach night, which is a minhag. Certainly Chazal will kaveya it to say it betoch ha'agodah. Another reason, okay, so another reason that's given is that some suggest that the minhag started when they started being madlik b'snin, so they were missing a major part of the Pirsumei Nisa aspect of the mitzvah, and so the shul like makes up for that sort of. It fills a certain gap that was created by being madlik b'snin. Okay, there's a major issue about mokom tziburiyim. If you would make a bracha, even if it's not technically a shul, how tied is the minhag with the bracha, especially to a shul? It's not clear. Discussion of the Achrayim, different shitas, and in Tim Slimer, it is kosher to a shul. What about if it's not technically a shul? What about if you have a steady minyan in someone's house every night? I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. Maybe you should be davening in a shul. But if that is the reality, and it doesn't have a kedushas beis knesses, you're davening in his living room, so in Tim Tzoloimer the minhag is dafka shul. How much do you need a technical shul? Maybe a steady minyan every night in someone's living room shouldn't make a bracha because it's not technically a shul. So these are all shailas that are discussed by the Achrayim, and you could tuduch the inyan. If it's ever a gay, you can come and ask me, and I'll flip a coin and tell you what to do. Okay. Chavis Halvavus from the last parak of Shar HaYichud. When I say that, I mean it's difficult to be machriya. Sometimes you just let people, you know, just stud them each way. Probably, I would say it's more normative not to make a bracha anywhere but a shul, and not to be makbid on a shul, technically a shul, but anywhere that there's a minyan kavua. But if that night, the night of the Chanukah party, you're having a Chanukah party in your house, and you punk have 10 people that are over bar mitzvah, and they're davening ma'ariv there, you wouldn't light with a bracha, certainly not. You certainly wouldn't light with a bracha. That's one night you're davening Marib. Even a steady minyan, I believe, does make a bracha, even if it's not technically a shul. But certainly Mokum, I don't know what the Lubavitchers do, but I think normative halacha is not to make a bracha over hadlaka, even in a Mokum Tzibur with his big Pirsumei Nisa. And the Lubavitchers make a bracha when they light at the Kotel, they make a bracha. Maybe they hold it to base Knesset on the plaza, because they light there in a big menorah. But then they light on the building also there. I don't know, do they make a bracha? I don't know. It'd be interesting. It's not a shul. Okay, we're up to the Chavis Halalis, we're up to the last perek of Shaar HaYichud. Very, very long perek. He talks in this perek about descriptions of Hashem that we find throughout Tanakh. What are we to make of those descriptions? So in the first part of Perek Yud, in Shaar HaYichud, he says there's two types of descriptions. There's some descriptions that we know. And now the problem with a description is that it's an attribute. And the problem with an attribute is that it implies that it's like used when it's... It implies change. It implies that it's not inherent in me. I am brave. So that's not... That's an attribute that I acquired. It's an acquired attribute. It's not something of my essence that's in my neshama. I mean, maybe it is, but most of the time it's not. But with Hashem, there's nothing like that. There's nothing that's not Hashem's essence. You can't give it any description of Hashem that's sort of like an attribute. It's not really true, because Hashem doesn't have attributes. Hashem only is. So he's mechalik. He starts off the parak being mechalik between descriptions of Hashem, which really are just a reference to what we see of his pa'ulos, when he allows to happen, and they're a reflection of... So we call them attributes of him, but it's just a word we use to describe what we're seeing of him. We're seeing rachmanus, we're seeing anger, we're seeing midas hadin, we're seeing hatava. It's just what we see of him. But there are three things about Hashem that are as close to describing his essence as you can get. One is to say Hashem exists, and one is to say that Hashem is eternal, and one is to say that Hashem is one. So even though they also are just sound like attributes, but they're as close as you can come, he says. And really you're saying Hashem is one, that he's not one, and that Hashem exists, he doesn't not exist, and Hashem is eternal, he's not eternal. Because to describe Hashem in any way is, we don't have words for it, but Hashem is beyond description. But in terms of these two types of descriptions, so we do talk about Hashem as being as existing, being eternal, and being one, and everything else we understand is just a reflection of the pulos he does, the things that he allows to happen in this world, and we see him through that reflection. Okay, we'll stop here.